from Mimeo Field at Harry Grove Stadium. This is Unlocking the Keys.
Hello and welcome to Unlocking the Keys, the official podcast of Frederick Keys Baseball. You can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And make sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're on all those social media platforms at Frederick Keys. I'm Gareth Kwok, the radio broadcaster for the Keys this summer, and we'll be continuing to put out this podcast periodically throughout the year with special guests from players, coaches, and more, but delighted to have as our second guest for this second episode, one of the most energetic guys on the team here on this Keys team. He's also one of the best defensive second basemen in the draft league right now, and he just finished up his third year at Marist College, where he set career highs in several offensive categories. Mr. Dylan Hoy. Dylan, thanks for joining.
How you doing? I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Hey, awesome. My first question, because you're always talking with the guys, giving fist bumps to the coaches, and even me, I appreciate that, man. Where does that energy come from, man?
Yeah, I mean, you know, parents always said, friends back home always say I have a bunch of energy. I'm just, every day I wake up, happy to be alive, play baseball, and just have fun, you know. So if I look at it that way, just make things simple, and just have fun.
Has that been something that has stuck with you since, like, Little League and beginning? Or was that something, like, in high school or whatever that you developed?
I think, you know, over the years, kind of just having more experience through life and baseball itself, I've just been having more fun, being relaxed and everything. And I think, you know, since high school, college, and days gone on, just energy has been around. So I love it.
Well, hey, first season with the Frederick Keys, we're delighted to have you on the team, and it's been a pleasure to watch you play. You've been doing a great job defensively, putting the ball in play, getting on base, and I got to say, there have been plenty of balls that you've hit hard and on the screws, and they just go right at the defense, but how's the summer been for you so far?
Hey, first off, thanks for having me on the show and having me on the team as well, but I'm just having a great time. You know, we have great managers here, Joe, Angel, all the guys there, and the teammates are super special. We have a great bond. All the guys are treating me well. I think I'm treating the guys well. So it's a great mash of things. And, you know, it's been tough because, you know, hitting balls hard at people, you kind of get frustrated. But I think I'm playing well and having a great time. So that's all you can ask for.
Has the draft league been about what you expected or more than what you expected?
I would honestly say more. You know, I didn't know what it was going to be like going into it. I was in the NECBL last year and things were good. It was considered like the second best league after the Cape Cod League. And the draft league came about last year. You know, this is the second year it's made, and it's been great so far. You know, great pitching, great competition. So it's everything I wanted.
And how did you find out that you'd become a member of the draft league and that you'd be with the Keys?
So it was through my advisor, Tommy Barbella. He was friends with Kerrick Jackson. I think he was the head of the league last year.
Yep.
We contacted him. Same thing with my coach at school, Chris Trez. And they said, I'm good to be in the league. I got placed on the Keys. And I think literally a week or two after, he took a job somewhere else. I don't know the whole story with that. But I got placed on the Keys, and everything worked out, and I came. So it's awesome.
Yeah, well, hey, it looked like it took maybe a couple weeks or so to get the team all meshed in. But it looks like you guys are really bonded together as a tight unit, would you say?
Yeah, no, definitely. We've definitely gotten closer over the past couple weeks because, you know, temp guys come and go. And with the college seasons finishing up and wrapping up, we have our kind of set roster now, so it's great.
Well, I remember on opening day, you wore number 45. That jersey was a little bit big on you, right?
Oh, yeah. Dennis is wearing it now. He's 6'7". It fits him well, so you can only imagine what it looked on me. I'm 5'7". So.
Where was that? Is that up to, like, your knees?
Yeah, it was down to the knees, and I had the baggy pants on, so I looked like a garbage bag playing, but I still got it done.
Well, now you're wearing number 10. I think that's a little bit more comfortable, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's more of an infield number, too. So.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, at Marist, you wear number 3. Is that correct? Any backstory behind that as far as a player or why number 3?
No, I mean, I was always 16 in high school. I got pulled up to varsity my freshman year. They gave me a list of numbers, and I thought 16 was the best, so I picked that. And going into college, before the season started, my coach texted me, said, hey, we have a list of numbers. 16 was on there, and I saw 3 was on there, and I was like, you know, let me try 3. So I got a little necklace here. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I see it.
It's out of 3, so it's my favorite number now.
He's got a gold little necklace right there that says number 3. Yep. So you've really taken it up then, right?
Yeah, I love it. My mom has one too, so it's awesome.
And people like to call you what? I mean, D-Hoy or Dylan?
Yeah, I mean,
what do they call you?
D-Hoy kind of sticks. A lot of people call me that, so I enjoy it. You know, tell them, call me whatever you want. Yeah. So.
Or DH3, right?
Yeah, that's my brand name. I'm trying to get that out there. I have a T-shirt brand as well. I have that on my Instagram if anybody wants to go check it out. It's right in my bio. It's on Bonfire. So
I was going to ask you about that in a bit. Why don't we, I mean, since you bring it up, though, what's the inspiration behind it? Because the slogan, right, it's create Was it?
Yeah, Create Yourself.
Create Yourself.
It's actually a tattoo on my forearm. I got that when I was a freshman in college. And it's just about, you know, being your own person, creating your own legacy and everything, and just keep moving forward. That's why the arrow is pointing that direction. And I put it on the T-shirt, have DH3, and from there, you know, a lot of sales have been going on.
Okay.
People kind of take notice to it. So it's a cool little thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It's actually Elevate Media Sports, if anybody wants to check them out. I don't know if you heard of them yourself.
No.
They're an NIL deal kind of place and just working stuff up. So Nico runs it. He's a good guy.
Yeah. I mean, while we're on the subject about NIL, I mean, how has that changed not only, you know, you and your kind of brand, but like ever since it all began seemingly like last year. How has that just changed the way you go about your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you could see, I think I was watching ESPN today at the gym, and like all these big athletes, Livy Dunn, the QB from Alabama, they're all getting huge NIL deals. And stuff's been working for me, you know, even though I'm at a small D1 at Marist College. I've been getting like little stuff here and there from a few companies, and it's really just changing, you know, the way college athletes can go about things.
It certainly has changed, I think, the landscape. I mean, it's, you know, you have the portal these days, you have NIL now. I mean, this is changing college sports a ton, right?
Yeah, it's definitely becoming, college sports are definitely becoming huge. I mean, they are huge as it is, yeah. But I just think people are taking more notice, which is awesome, you know.
No, that's, I think that's the part we want to see is the exposure for these college athletes. And speaking about Marist College, you just finished your third year there, and let me see if I get the pronunciation right. Poughkeepsie?
Yes.
All right, okay.
You got it.
There we go. I either Google that one there in, up in New York. And for you, you set career highs in hits, runs batted in, runs, even walks. You got a great eye at the plate. Just kind of how would you assess the year from this past spring at Marist?
Yeah, I mean, you know, freshman year, kind of going about it was tough, you know, the COVID year happened, and then came back sophomore year, had a good year then, and kind of, you know, rolled into it this year. I struggled at first kind of with the whole expectation thing, you know, it's my draft year and all the stuff behind that, but we had a great group of guys there, kind of got through that kind of rough patch, as people say, and we were able to, you know, end the season at a high. Unfortunately, we didn't come with a conference win, but I think we put ourselves on the map for sure, so kind of just going up there playing ball. It's easy to play when you have coaches that support you. So Chris Traz, the head coach over there, he's a great guy, recruited me. And Adam Chase, the hitting coach, and Mike Koss, all great people. So
yeah, I mean, what are some of the things that have you been able to learn from, you know, your first year, which, you know, you came in 2020, right? And that's when, you know, you only got to play, whatever, a month and a half before the whole world flipped upside down. And then 2021 last year was kind of your first full season. You were able to hit pretty well. Just kind of how would you, you know, the year by year, what's been the biggest things you've learned so far along the journey?
Yeah, I mean, just slowing the game down because it could speed up on you just like that at times where you don't expect it. So, you know, one thing for me, I know it's kind of small, but chewing gum is huge because, you know, I just get to process things a little slower, get to relax and breathe. So just slowing the game down, I think, is the biggest part of the, you know, thing that I would learn.
You said chewing gum. It makes you, it relaxes you.
Yep, we got the double bubble in the in the dugout, so it's a huge help.
What's your favorite brand?
I got to go, what was it, the Juicy? That Juicy type?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Juicy Fruit?
Yep. It takes a while to run out, so I'll take that all day.
Well, there's Juicy Fruit, there's Big League Chew, right?
Yeah. I don't like the Big League Chew anymore. I heard it gives kids cavities, so I got to stay away from that.
You got to keep the teeth clean, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I want you to share the story, because I know we had talked about this when we were just watching batting practice, but because you started this year at shortstop, right? And then about midway through, you moved to second base. But it wasn't like the, you know, a coach said, hey, we need you at second. It was you voluntarily said, I want to move to second because you had a teammate who was struggling defensively at second. What was just kind of the story of how you moved from short to second? You know, you voluntarily said, hey, coach, I think I should move to second.
Yeah, I mean, so it was middle of the year, you know, not a lot of double plays were getting turned. And it's not, you know, he was struggling a little bit. Great players, you know, both guys were great at second. But it was just we weren't turning enough double plays. So I kind of went to coach and I was like, hey, you know, can I play second? And he's like, oh, I don't know. You know, I've been thinking about it for a little while. And then one game we were playing Hartford on a Tuesday afternoon, and we didn't turn a double play. And he comes back in the dugout, and he goes, Dylan, go to second. Robbie, who was at third, go to short. And then Marco, who was playing second at the time, go to third. And we turned a double play literally the next inning. It was smooth. And we just kept it through there. And ever since, I've just been playing second. I love it. So
Yeah, so what do you prefer then between short and second? You got no preference, really.
Honestly, you know, shortstop will always have my heart. You know, it was my first love. but second's really been growing on me. I feel like the game's slowing down a lot over there, and I'm comfortable. So
yeah, I mean, you look comfortable defensively. You've been able to get some of those tricky short hops or whatever.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, has there been anybody you kind of watch on either in Major League Baseball that you kind of try and get your defensive, you get your defense from a little bit?
Well, it's actually funny. My favorite player is Trevor Story, and he was on the Rockies, a shortstop. Yeah. He got traded over to Boston, and he got moved to second base. So I think it's funny. You know, I was playing short. I got moved to second. So I kind of emulate myself after him, and he's my idol. So, and we're both number 10. So
yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
It works out.
Hey, what's the key? Because we've seen you and Nander DeSantis, Harold Cole, you guys have been rolling up the double plays. Yeah. What's the key to a successful a double play, man?
Yeah, I think aside from the baseball aspect, I think it's just the bond that we have. You know, we're very comfortable with each other on and off the field. We know our tendencies and everything. So, you know, outside of the field, we're always hanging out, doing something, lifting, going to eat, watch a movie, whatever it is. And then on the field, I just, you know, we kind of know where we're going to flip the ball or what kind of move they're going to make. So it's awesome. I love those guys.
Yeah, I mean, what's it like to play with Nander and Harold? I mean, guys you didn't really know, right, coming into the summer, and it seemed like you formed a connection like that
quickly. Yeah, I mean, I knew of them, of course, because they were big recruits out of high school, and they're still, you know, huge guys now. You got Harold going to Arkansas next year. You got Nander. He went to Florida State and Mizzou. Yep. So, you know, I heard about them, and to meet these guys, I kind of thought, you know, a big-time prospect's going to be a little bit on the harsh side, but no, they're great guys. They're just normal guys, friendly, and able to make a great bond, so I'm happy about that.
They've been real welcoming for you, right?
Really welcoming, yeah. It makes, you know, life 10 times easier, so yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has certainly improved for you guys. I know the first week is kind of like guys coming in, you know, you haven't worked with each other at all, right? But yeah. What do you think's been the improvement on defensively? What's been the key?
I think just playing every day and getting used to each other, like you said, is the biggest thing. Just getting to know each other is the biggest part. So after that happened, we kind of just been in a groove and taken off.
Well, certainly. And so, you know, you're from New York native from Suffern, correct?
Yep.
Which I mean, I looked it up on the map and it's right. Is it right on the border?
Yeah, it's right on the border of Jersey. It's beautiful because you got the New York vibes and then the Jersey price gas. So it's awesome. You got to love it.
There you go. Tell me a little bit. How'd you get into baseball? What all started that?
Yeah. So my parents signed me up for both baseball and basketball. I took that on through middle school. And once I got to high school, I was like, you know, I really just want to stick with baseball. And I wanted to play Division I baseball. And, you know, everything kind of just worked out, kept working out. I found a few trainers that I love back home, Matt Murata, this guy Jose Reyes, not the actual one on the Mets, but another guy. And we've just been working out ever since and, you know, just love it.
Well, I know we've talked a lot about baseball, but how was the basketball Dylan Hoy back in the day?
He was bad. He would throw up half quarters and make them and then go for a layup and miss. So
what? Really?
Yeah,
oh, man.
You know, it was a hit or miss for me, and I was only 5'2". I thought I was going to play in the NBA when I was young. But, you know, I stopped growing when I was in high school. I stopped at 5'7". Still haven't grown since. So, you know, I figured baseball was the best route.
You thought you were going to Madison Square Garden, right?
Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to play with the Nets or something like that, you know?
But, well, were you a guy that, okay, maybe I'm going to attack the rim, or what was
dude,
Dylan,
I mean,
Hoy?
I was like, I hated contact, so I was like, I got to stay away from these guys. If I have an open lane, I'm going to go for it, and I chuck it up, get a little scared because I thought they were going to hit me. So most of the time, I just said, give me the ball, and I'll shoot it. So,
okay.
So, hey, I had a few points when I was back in the day, but,
okay.
You know, it's
back,
rough now.
Back in high school or middle school?
No. Elementary school. Yeah, I would play in middle school, but I wasn't good enough to make the team. So.
Well, and also those guys that, you know, they get those early growth spurts, right, and they're already, whatever, 6'2", 6'3", and, you know, if you're a late bloomer, right, you kind of have to pick and choose, right?
Yeah, well, I made the mistake, too, of this place called Torn Valley back by my house. It's this big gym, and people go there to play basketball. You got the high school kids, college kids in the winter. Me and my buddies were like, hey, let's go play basketball tonight. It's a Saturday night. I'm like, sweet, let's go. First shot, bank of three. I'm like, all right, I'm locked in. Ready? I pull my shorts up, put my shoes on. I'm like, all right, let's go. I go for a rebound. 6'7" kid hits my hand, breaks my hand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my throwing arm, too.
Oh,
and I was
no.
Like, no shot. So I was just like, ever since then, put down the basketball, retire. I'll stick to baseball.
Not even a couple games of pickup, maybe?
Hey,
no?
I mean, I still play a couple games of pickup, but I let them know I'm running point guard, I'll pass, shoot. Yeah. I am not going in the paint.
Oh, you
not
business decision, right?
Yeah.
Business
you got
decision.
To, you got to.
Well, any other sports that you played growing up, or just those were the two?
Nothing, you know, just basketball and baseball. And then, you know, maybe football on the side. Nothing like, you know, really set in stone. It was just with my buddies having fun. We would play snow football all the time.
There
just
you go.
Beat the crap out of each other. But yeah, it was fun. Always doing something active.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Getting out and getting active, just being out on the field or on the court, wherever.
Exactly.
But hey, how did when you were, you know, you realized, hey, like, I think I can play Division I baseball, just kind of what that college process for Marist, I mean, what sort of went into your recruiting process of what made you fall in love with Marist?
So, I mean, to start off, it was all my freshman year that I kind of knew I had some sort of future in baseball because I made the JV team. And then after our first game, they pulled me up to varsity because the shortstop there, he was kind of struggling a little bit. Moved him to the outfield. It was almost like my second base, you know, thing now. We moved him to the outfield, and he did great. So I got pulled to shortstop. And after my sophomore year of high school, I got an offer from Marist, visited the next day, and it was just gorgeous. You know that feeling when, like, it feels like home and something's just right? The coaches were great. The people, the atmosphere was awesome.
It clicked.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the place I want to be. I visited a few other schools, never got any, you know, confirmed offers. And I was like, Mom, Dad, like, this is the place I want to go. I want to go to Marist. And I'm here now, and I love it. You know, I'm thankful for everything. Coaches have been great. Chris Traz, you know, I struggled my freshman year, but he stuck with me, and I'm still playing with him now. And I would say I'm, you know, doing well. And it's just awesome. I love it.
And it's not too far away from home, right?
Not at all. About 45 minutes. So,
okay.
You know, when I get a little homesick, I drive home, get a home-cooked meal, get to see everybody, so it's great. You know, I get to see the dogs, families. So
oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
What's the best home-cooked meal that the mom or dad makes?
Chicken parm for my mom, and then my dad makes a great stir-fry.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome, yeah. Wow. It's great.
I mean, I think that's the best part. I know Luke. I was talking to Luke Pryor about it, too, because he's from the area right here in Frederick, and he's close by. But it's nice to have the family close, and for you, for Marist to be only, whatever, I guess an hour or so, right?
Yeah.
Not too far away. That must be nice for your parents, too, to come visit and
yeah,
play.
It's awesome. They love coming to the games and stuff when they can and just coming to see me in the fall, so... It's great.
Well, yeah, we mentioned your tattoos, right? Let me see them real quick if you don't mind. You got the create yourself arrow right on the left forearm, and then on the sort of like by the elbow there. What does it say?
It's a grandmother's heart holds a garland of love, and then it says Grandma Honey. So my grandma on my dad's side passed away when I was about 13, and she gave me a plaque before she passed, and it said that, and I called her Grandma Honey. So I decided, you know, this past year that I wanted to get that. It's I know it's going to be my last tattoo because I don't want to get loaded up in them, you know what I mean? But this was, like, something sentimental to me, so I wanted to put it on there.
So this was this year that you got it?
Yeah, this past winter.
Okay. Yeah. All right, wow, that's a great story. And how about the create yourself?
Well, that was after my freshman year.
Okay.
After my freshman year fall, I got that, and I love it, you know. I think it's awesome. It's a little quote that sticks with me and is memorable, so.
Did you ever come in thinking, like, I'm going to eventually get a tattoo, or was it like, I'm not going to get a tattoo? And then it was just like kind of an impulse thing, like, hey, this looks kind of cool. I'm going
to
get one.
Yeah, no, I never wanted to do an impulse thing because, you know, they're with you forever. I mean, you can get rid of them now with the laser surgery and all that, but, you know, I don't want to go through
that. Expensive, right?
Yeah. But both my tattoos, these two, I thought about them for a while, and I was like, yeah, I would be happy with them. So, you know, they're the only two that I have. I'm going to stick with these, not get any more. You know, I don't want to do any impulse things. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love them.
Well, yeah, I know there's plenty of guys that will, you know, they get – on their back, right, the chest, right, but not you though.
No, not me. It's not for me. You know, I can't do all that. You know, so.
Well, hey, I got some rapid fire questions for you.
Let's do it.
Some easy ones here. Yeah. Favorite team?
Yankees.
Yankees.
Yep, homegrown kids, so I love them.
Okay, so definitely Yankees over Mets, right?
Then? Oh, always. I'll still go to Mets games. Beautiful ballpark. But
yeah.
Yankees over Mets all day.
Okay. How about you mentioned your favorite player, right?
Yep, Trevor Story.
Trevor Story.
Yeah.
Since day one.
Yeah, since he got pulled up, I believe it was 2017, and I just kind of, you know, when you draw a liking to somebody, that's kind of just, I love him, you know?
How about favorite?
Not in that kind of way, but you know what I mean.
No, I got you. How about favorite Yankees player?
Favorite Yankees player? It was Derek Jeter. Now it's honestly, I don't really have one, you know? I mean, Judge is great. Stanton's great. I love all the guys, but since I just emulate myself after Trevor Story, that's just, you know, kind of my guy that I watch all the time. I follow him, but All the Yankees guys are great.
You're going to put aside the Red Sox just for that one guy, right? He'll be your favorite. He'll be your favorite Red Sox
I'm going to be honest. I would wear a Red Sox jersey with number 10 on the back.
Okay.
That's just my guy. So.
Okay. All right. I respect it. I respect it.
A couple Yankees fans out there might hate me, but I'll take it.
Hey, you and Harold, man. Harold Cole, the shortstop for the Keys also. You guys are two big Yankee fans, right?
Yeah, huge.
Oh, yeah. How about coolest place baseball has taken you so far?
Ooh, that's a great question. Honestly, I have to go this past year. We went to, I think it was the low A affiliate of the Boston Red Sox in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, it was awesome. And then I also went to the Yard Goat Stadium. I think it's the Colorado Rockies affiliate in Connecticut. That place is gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of ballparks, I actually forgot to mention this, but, I mean, the Keys and you guys worked out at PNC Park for the Draft League Combine a couple weekends ago. I mean, how cool was that?
It was beautiful. I'll
BP,
tell you,
yeah,
they get no bad hops. We were taking ground balls. Everything was true. I just want to lay down there all day and chill.
But
it was a great experience, great exposure and everything, and great that we get to play with the other kids from the other team. So.
Yeah, no, that was a unique opportunity. I know you and Harold, everybody had their phones out putting on social media.
You just got to soak it in, you know. There's some things in life that you just got to enjoy and have fun, so.
All right, how about favorite baseball memory? Either maybe you did something in-game or a game that you watched.
Yeah, I mean, favorite baseball memory so far was my senior year. We won the section championship. That was the first time in 20 years. Since we won it, and then we went on to win the regional championship. So in that section championship game, I got the last ground ball, threw it over, and we just dogpiled.
Oh,
so
man.
I'll never forget that. It was great. And 12 seniors on that team. We played together our whole lives since Little League. You know how that works. So for us to come together and win that, it was something special.
No, that's the best. Yeah. Those are the best types of stories.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was like a Cinderella story.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Favorite food?
Oh, chicken parm.
Chicken parm?
With penne. I don't like spaghetti, you know.
Okay.
Big penne guy.
Big penne guy, okay. Yeah. Pre-game, any pre-game rituals you got?
No, nothing really. You know, I used to have something at Marist. I would try to, you know, sit in the dugout, kind of clear my mind and relax. But I kind of found myself getting too tense. So my biggest thing now is just be loose, joke around with the guys, say what's up to the fans, and just enjoy myself. So the more, you know, the looser I am, the better I play.
Okay, all right. And on an off day, what is Dylan Hoy doing?
Hey, honestly, lately it's been tanning. I have a very pale stomach and back, so I gotta get that all tanned up for the summertime. But other than that, I love jet skiing, hiking, really anything outdoors, interactive. So
I've been seeing you along the right field line. You get your tan in, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. I get my tan in, a little core, a little ab workout, so I love it.
How long are you going for?
Usually about an hour, hour and a half.
Okay.
You know, I can't get too burnt up. I get burnt bad. I get the bubbles on the back. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, my mom yells at me for that one. When she listens to this, she's going to be like, yeah, I yell at him.
So. Okay, all right. And then what's on the pregame playlist?
Pregame playlist is usually just a bunch of the guys in the locker room laugh at this one. Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga. You know,
no shame.
I get them going. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I feel that. Well, hey, appreciate the time, first of all. But I'm going to leave you with one last question because obviously it's MLB Draft League. Everybody's trying to hopefully get up to that next level.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you like your opportunity to kind of do a little sales pitch here.
Yeah.
Why should teams? What are teams going to get in Dylan Hoy if they select you this summer?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a player in myself that keeps working hard. He's not going to get discouraged, give you a bunch of energy day in and day out. And I think, you know, I'm a good player to help guys around me get better. So, you know, I just hope I get the opportunity and run with it. So,
hey, man, we're looking forward to seeing you at that next level. And thanks again for joining me on the podcast, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a great time.
Thank you, man. This is the Unlocking the Keys podcast, the official podcast of Frederick Keys Baseball. Gareth Kwok alongside the Marist College second baseman, Dylan Hoy. Thanks again for tuning in. And we will see you all next time.